Next Sunday, Beth and I will not be here. We're going to take a few vacation days. We're looking forward to that and getting away to a place where we hope is much cooler than it is here. We hope it cools off here before too terribly long. And my guess is that it will, but we're grateful for that. And so we're going to spend some time away. And in my absence next Sunday, Rob is going to be speaking in the morning and Patrick will be speaking next Sunday night. I know you'll benefit from the message of these men. I know they will well prepare themselves and they'll have something very good for you that will help you spiritually. And so I know that you will look forward to that. As you know, 3 weeks ago I began a meeting in Greenwood, Indiana. And as I typically do when I go elsewhere to preach, I do some evaluating. That's not something that I'm asked to do. That just kind of happens. When people come here, they evaluate us. That's the nature of going to a new place and just kind of seeing what you see and observing what you observe. And sometimes, most of the time, that's always subjective. You just make observations and you just get some ideas about what a church does and how a church is. And I made the observation during one of my lessons there. I think I may have even told you this. I'm not sure. But I made the observation that I thought that the church there, in my judgment, looked like they were doing well. And as I've told you before, sometimes churches have, I call them buzzes. It's just that when you walk in, you just kind of get a feel that things are going well. And I pray and I hope and I believe that when people walk in our building and talk to us and are part of our assembly, they get that. And that was true in Greenwood. And I told the elders that. I told them that a couple of times. And one of them particularly asked me about that. And he said, I appreciate you saying that. What exactly is it that you're saying about that? And I told him some things that I have typically said to you, which are, I think you're really doing some good things. But I see a lot of potential here among this group. I told them that. And that stirred him a little bit to ask me to talk to the elders there a little bit further about what it was that I saw. And sometimes when you're kind of new to a situation, you can come in and kind of with fresh eyes look at something and say, you know, this is what I see. And when you're talking to people about that, and I appreciated the fact that they were interested in what I thought. But we had planned, and they had asked me, would I conference call them? And I said, well, sure, I'd be glad to. So we had that this afternoon, and I talked with them just about some things that I think are good for churches to think about. And they talked to me about some things that they thought were good as well. But I said all that to say that what is happening there, in my judgment, is what I believe is happening here. I've told you many times before that I am so grateful for the opportunity to be here. I'm grateful for so many things that we are trying to do. But I will tell you, and as I've said before, I think the potential here is just great. I think we can do so much more than we do. And that's going to require all of us, and I mean every single one of us, beginning to think in terms of us even doing more. You know, potential that's not realized really is nothing. Just to think that we can do more and never trying to accomplish that and never putting things in place that will accomplish that is going to serve no useful purpose. It's just a lot of talk. But to understand that God's people in certain places, really in all places, I suppose, but I think in a place especially like this that has potential, it's important for us to evaluate that. And part of doing that starts with our leadership. And they have done that. They continue to do that. And part of us wanting to add more men to serve in that capacity, I think, is for that reason, is because we understand that we do have potential to do even greater things and to do even more things. Not for our own sake, certainly, but for the Lord's sake and to try to better His cause and to help that. So that's what doing things like looking out among us and trying to find more men to lead is all about. And in time, looking out and trying to find more men who are deacons and who can accomplish the work that a deacon needs to do. Looking out in that capacity, or teachers, or anybody else, any other responsibilities that we have here that will help us improve our work. That's what we are trying certainly to accomplish. And the thing about that is no church ever finishes that. It's not like, here's our potential, let's reach that, and then we can sit back and just not worry about the rest of it. The fact of the matter is that none of us, no church will ever reach a full complement of their potential. But what good churches do is they recognize that they can do more and then they seek to do that. They push themselves to do that. And I think that's what I'm seeing among us. We are wanting to and we are needing to, and I think we will push ourselves to even do more. And of course that does, as I said, start with strong leadership. And it starts with the strong leadership model that I think we see in Scripture. And I think that's very clear. And what I'm seeing, again, as I travel, I'm seeing churches and other men that I know who travel and preach at other places. I see them talking about what other churches are trying to accomplish. And what typically happens is they see that begins with leadership. And when you get that, when you understand the shepherding model of the New Testament, then I see the growth that takes place in these churches. So what we're trying to accomplish is just continue what we've started and then trying to increase on that, which is why we're talking about pursuing the idea of more shepherds. But let me talk to you for just a minute. Four reasons why that's important, okay? It's important for us to think about this for all the things that I just mentioned, but it's important also for all of us to know what we're looking for. Really, I think the better way to say that is who we're looking for. But we're really talking about what type of man we're looking for. And that's important for every single one of us. Every single one of us has a responsibility because we're all sheep. We're all people who spiritually need to be led. That's part of who we are. And so it is up to each one of us to try to have at least some idea about those men we would like to see to continue to help us and to lead us. So that's one reason, because each member needs to know what we're looking for. And secondly, we need to talk about this because the men whom we may select need to understand that as well. They need to know why it is that we would think that they would have the kind of influence that could help lead us. They need to understand what we're talking about. And again, I don't believe just a few lessons is going to help them do that. I believe these would be men who have known this for much of their lives. And so they need to see that as well. And then our present elders. It's good for our present elders to hear lessons about this, because what it allows them to do, it allows them to self-evaluate. And that's a critical process. All of them, all three of those men need to continue to say, am I serving? Am I leading in a way that I need to lead? And that continues to be important, whether you've been an elder for 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years. It requires that kind of effort to continue to think about that. And then finally, and I don't think least importantly, but I think finally what it does, it allows even some men among us who are younger to begin looking at their lives. And I hope if you're a young man here this evening, I hope that you aspire to become an elder. I hope that you aspire to become a shepherd in a local church where God's people are. I don't know of anything else that would help God's people more than other young men developing not only themselves, but marrying well and having a wife who is so supportive, and then them raising a family in which they have that family under control, and they are seeking to establish that family according to God's pattern. I can't think of anything better. I can't think of anything better for the future of this church than for those kinds of things to take place. And folks, that's critical. So if you are a younger family, I want you to be thinking about that. I want you to think of these lessons. It may not be time for certain people to be put into this, to be appointed in this position or in this particular responsibility, but certainly we continue to think about the future. And if God allows us to live our lives into the future, we need to continue what's going to make a church at College View, this church at College View, strong. You know, typically what happens with most churches, if not all churches, local churches, they die out. At some point, things change. At some point, things move in a different direction. People are lost, and for various reasons. It may take long periods of time. I don't know what the future of this church is, but I know that while I'm a part of it, I know while you're a part of it, that we have a responsibility to do the very best we can, just like those before us have had that responsibility. And much of why we're here is because of people before us who have made this church what it is. And we have been asked by the Lord Himself first to continue what they have started and to increase and to build and to even make it better if we can. That's our responsibility as people. And I, for one, don't want to be a person who just wants the status quo to continue. I want us to improve. I want us to reach that potential, or at least be pushing toward that potential. And I know all of you understand that as well. So, all that to say that we need these lessons on shepherding. I think it's important for us to look at what the Bible says about that. So I want tonight to look at really two passages. I want you to turn your Old Testaments, if you would, to Jeremiah 23. Think about this. I think when we think about the imagery in Scripture and we talk about what God wants in His shepherd model, and that's really what we're talking about. The words that are used to describe what overseers or leaders of a local church are, I mean, elder describes really the experience that he has. It's typically a man who would be older who has some experience. When we talk about a bishop, we're talking about someone who superintends or oversees. But when we're talking about the role really that an elder plays, we're talking about someone who shepherds. That imagery is all throughout Scripture. So what I want to look at tonight is one passage from the Old Testament and look at a passage from the New Testament that I think helps us. And here's why I want us to do it. I want us to read these texts together. I'm going to read it and I want you to follow along. And I want you to be thinking in your mind as we're reading these things. And there'll be some good things said and there'll be some negative things said. But I want you to be thinking about, okay, what kind of men are we talking about? What kind of men do we want to help us, to continue to help us, along with those we have, to help us continue to function in the way we are and to even make ourselves better? That's the question that I want you to ask. So Jeremiah 23 is where I begin. Listen to what basically God was saying through Jeremiah and notice the imagery that he uses. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." We're not told if what God had in mind when he spoke to the prophets is specifically those shepherds who would be the leaders among his people when the spiritual kingdom came to play. But it seems obvious and evident to me that that's what he has in mind. He may be referring to just that period of time when he was going to try to raise up leaders even among people, even as the remnant would return, to try to help them and to try to salvage what it was that the nation had become and try to bring them back to God. It may be that. But because he's talking about the day in which this branch of righteousness, a king shall reign with power, it seems to me what he's talking about is this time when Christ himself raises up himself and he becomes king and he establishes a spiritual kingdom. Well, what he's talking about then is those men whom God would raise up to help when that spiritual kingdom came along. And I want you to notice just a few of these verses. I'm going to go back and just read a couple things from verse 2. He says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them." Well, there's a lot of things I think we could say about that. And if we did some research, we could find out some of the specific things that happened. But basically what God is saying to those shepherds who drove people away, he said, you didn't attend to them. You didn't pay any attention to them. And because you didn't, they drifted. And because they drifted, now they're gone. But he says in verse 3, "But I will gather. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them. And bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Again, what's he saying? He's saying, I'm looking for in the days and years ahead, where God is going to establish this new kingdom under this new king of righteousness, I'm looking for an opportunity when I'm going to bring those people back. And they're going to come from all countries. This is the same idea that's presented in the New Testament. It's not just going to be the Jews, it's going to be the Gentiles as well. And so he says, "I will bring them back to their foes, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Now, I want you to think about that. He's going to bring shepherds back. And when he brings the shepherds back under this new kingdom rule, those shepherds who will operate under his way, in his way, and the way he wants, those people will be fruitful, and they will provide increase. And they'll feed. They'll feed his people. So he says in verse 4, "I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them." Now think about that. All of us as sheep, in essence, as spiritual sheep, we need to be fed. And that happens a variety of ways. But we need to be fed spiritually. And those shepherds who God will help set up will feed them. And look at the next part. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. I want you to think, as I said to you, I want you to think about what God is saying about those men who lead. He's saying, these are men who are going to help us. They will feed us. That could happen in a variety of ways. They themselves may feed us. They may provide opportunities for us to be fed. They may themselves do that. But they're looking for opportunities to feed. And it's going to be done where there's no more fear. We're going to understand what that is. That there will be no more dismay. It's going to be a situation where if you pay attention to that message, it's going to be what you need to hear. And they shall not be lacking. And I think he's talking about those over whom these shepherds present themselves. They'll not be lacking. Why is that? Because these shepherds, God is saying, I'm going to set up these kind of shepherds, and they're not going to be like these shepherds of old. I'm not going to have to go back in and come in and undo what they have done. I'm not going to have to do that. So that imagery helps us understand, folks, the kind of man that we're looking for. And so as you consider putting a man's name before the group or letting the elders consider men that you would put forth, think about a man that you want helping feed you. Think about a man who does not lead out of fear. Think about a man who does not lead so that we could be dismayed. Think about that. And those are the men we're looking for to help us, again, achieve this kind of potential that we're talking about. And I think that's important for us to look at that kind of imagery. And what he's saying here really in chapter 23, and really I think verse 4 really sets it up. He's saying, look for people who take care of people. They truly take care of people. And that goes back to our first lesson where we talked about the real need among elders is to serve that spiritual need of people. Folks, I cannot stress that enough. I cannot stress that enough. What a shepherd is to do is to be concerned about the spiritual well-being of every one of his sheep. Now, there may be other responsibilities that he sees as being a part of that. But the essence of what we're talking about is God is wanting people to lead his people spiritually. And that's a great need. I will tell you, that's a great need everywhere to have more men who are willing because it provides more opportunities for more people to be helped. And that's, again, what our shepherds who are presently serving at, they see the need to help us accomplish that. So that's why we're doing what it is that we are doing. Turn over to a New Testament passage in John 18. This is probably familiar to you. And when I said I want to look at two passages, you probably said, well, I bet he's going to go to John 10. Because really, this is the text of the Good Shepherd. This helps us understand who Jesus was. And again, it provides the imagery of saying, if he's the Good Shepherd, what does that say about those who would be willing to serve and who we would ask to serve as our own shepherds? Verse 1 of chapter 10, most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now let me stop right here and tell you, what he's contrasting is who he is and the fact that there were shepherds who didn't have the best interest of the sheep at heart. It's just like he was talking about in Jeremiah 23. He says, there have been shepherds who have been before you and they've destroyed you. They didn't have your best interest at heart. And Jesus is saying, I do. And here's why. Verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I want you to look at the relationship here. I want you to look at the intimacy of the relationship. What you have here is a shepherd, and he's talking, and his sheep understand who he is, and he understands who the sheep are. He knows them by name. He has that kind of relationship with them. Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. But he's speaking it nonetheless because he wants them to get it. So verse 7. He said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I want you to notice how many times he says he doesn't care about the sheep. The kind of shepherd that God doesn't want is the kind that doesn't care about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Now I know we're talking about Jesus Christ. And there's a sense in which we're talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. In no way would that classify any other man who's serving in a local church as a shepherd. Well, that's not who we're talking about here. But the imagery is sound. The idea that a man would have that much interest and take that kind of care of his own sheep and would lay down his life if necessary. That's the kind of a person we're looking for. So I think the illustration, I think the imagery does work. We need more men who are ready and more men who are willing to lead as shepherd leaders. You remember the qualities, and I know you do. Remember the qualities that were mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? We're not going to reteach that lesson. We're not going to re-preach that lesson. But I just want to mention the areas because I want you to keep these areas in your mind. Again, not qualifications as much as qualities to help us understand the kind of man we're looking for. First of all, there's the character quality. It's a man of integrity. There are things listed in those qualifications and in those qualities that help us understand this is a man who is really beyond reproach. It's not that he never has made a mistake, but it is that he is beyond reproach. He is a capable leader. He's not only a capable leader, could be a capable leader among a local church, but he's a capable leader in his home. And all the indication that says this man has proven himself. You look at his home. Look at what's been established in his home. And you can say that about him. He has a solid and a sound reputation. Not only does he have a sound reputation among us, but he has a sound reputation among those who are outside of us. You think about how important that is. We don't want a leader. We wouldn't want a spiritual leader of any kind who is one of our leaders who from the outside looking in, people go, why is he that? Why is he one of your leaders? We don't want that. That wouldn't be good for us. It wouldn't be good for that man. So his reputation is solid both in and out. And certainly a man who has a responsibility to feed sheep has to know what Christ wants. He has to know what the Word of Christ says. He has to know what it is that he needs to be able to feed us with. And then finally, let me just suggest that he has to be relational. I love that terminology when it comes to a shepherd. Folks, listen carefully to this. He's got to love people. He's got to love people. And more importantly than just loving people, he has to love the souls of people. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not everybody. Not everybody loves the souls of people, but he has to be a man who wants to see people do well spiritually, and he wants to see people go to heaven. I haven't really talked about 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1 that says this, if any man desires the office, he desires a good work. If any man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. I don't think there's anything that's hard to understand about that. A man needs to want to do it. But a man needs to want to do it for all the right reasons. There's nothing that's going to come out of it for him that has any personal gain to him. As a matter of fact, he runs the risk, really, of having personal loss in some sense because he's going to have to give up a whole lot of things. But why would a man desire to serve this church or any local church as a shepherd. Why would a man do that? There's only one reason, folks. There's only one right reason. Unfortunately, I've seen men in other places who have desired to serve. I have seen men appointed in other churches. And the fact of the matter is, they didn't love the souls of men. They liked what they thought was a power play. To have some sort of rule and to have some sort of authority and to have some sort of power in a local church. I cannot think of a worse thing than to appoint a man when that's his motivation. Can you think of a worse thing? And that's happened before. And so we have to ask ourselves again, can we find a man? Are there men here among us who desire to do this? This is a good work. And the work is to help people. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I am known by my own. I've said it many times. It is imperative that we find men to help us who are relational people, who can build relationships with not only us, but who can build relationships with other people. They're going to lead us. They're going to help us achieve what I think is potentially what we can do. That's what we all have to be considering. And if we do that, I believe that there are men among us who can help us do that. And then let me finally say this. Your voice is essential to that. You know, it's interesting to me that in Scripture, we really are not told. We're told that churches had elders. We're told that churches had deacons. We have in several places these qualities that are listed to identify the type of man we're looking for. But really, there's no method presented that tells us this is how you accomplish that. Seems to me that the Lord has left that with each local church to determine how that is. But it seems only reasonable, doesn't it? That if we're the ones who are going to be led, that the men selected and to additionally do that would be men, that this group right here, this group feels like these are the men who fit those qualities. These are the men who can help us move in this direction. To me, it's an exciting time because we can look out. We've been given the opportunity. Our elders have given us that opportunity. Our leaders who presently serve have given us the opportunity and will give us the opportunity to say, these are men that I believe are ready to accomplish this for us. And then they ultimately, and they should, they ultimately will make that decision based in large measure on what we tell them. And that's why it's important for us to be very involved in this process. John is going to have more to say tonight as he makes his closing announcements about how this process moves forward. But I just want you to know that as an evangelist, this is an exciting time. There are some risks involved. I understand that, but there always are. Progress always means that. And so they, in their wisdom, the elders, and I think generally what this population of this local church has said, you're ready for that as well. So they're going to give us an opportunity. And I would like to encourage every single one of us who is a member here to be involved in that process. And certainly be praying for that. We've asked. They have asked. Continue to be praying for that. Continue to be studying about that. And I know you have. And so when John makes his closing announcements, he will help us all understand the process moving forward. And I hope that all of us will anticipate having more men to help us and lead us in a spiritual kind of way. As I said, it's an exciting time, and I hope that we have several who can fulfill that obligation and help. I'm grateful for men that want to do it because I know how difficult that can be, and we want to make sure that when we give these men our blessing and when we let our present elders know we think these men could help us, we want God to be pleased with that, and we want to know that that's what He wants. So let's be praying toward that end. That's my lesson tonight. A lot of it has to do with just reminding us of some things. Some of it has to do with just thinking about some things that I'd like for us to keep in our mind. But I hope that you will keep those thoughts in your mind as we move forward. Wade's going to lead us in a song. And as you know, if you have a spiritual need that we can help you with, we'd love for you to make that known. While we stand.